This is the CPC Podcast, episode 66 for Sunday, October 27th, 2019. Reason to celebrate. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. Only one thing in this week's church news. We're still collecting cans of sweet potatoes for neighbor to neighbor for their Thanksgiving and Christmas events. If you'd like to participate, please drop off your cans of sweet potatoes in Macquarie Hall before the end of this month. With that being said, let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
Our first reading this morning comes from the prophet Joel, beginning in the second chapter with the 23rd verse and proceeding through verse 32. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. We turn now to our second reading from the Gospel according to Luke, beginning in the 18th chapter with the 9th verse and proceeding through verse 14. Again, let us listen for the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open now our hearts and minds, O God, by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, so that as your word is proclaimed this day, we may hear with joy what it is you would have us hear, that hearing we might believe, and that believing we might live lives of richer and fuller service, glorifying you here on earth as you are glorified in heaven. Amen. In any election year, and we are certainly in the throes of the beginnings of it anyway, claims to be right and on the right side are bandied about with great zeal. But it seems that in recent years, those claims have reached epic proportion, so much so that were we to take seriously everything that is said about one candidate or another, then it would be easy for us to conclude that every Democrat wants to ban the Bible and every Republican hates the poor. But we know that's not true, don't we? Still, that's how elections are won. You paint your opponent with the broadest and most general strokes in order to present that person as the next incarnation of evil itself. More often than not, the most compelling thing that a candidate today has to say to the electorate is, "Thank God I'm not like that other person. Let me tell you what's great about me." Similar things can and do happen even in the best of churches. In fact, I don't think it's stretching the realm of possibility to say that on any given Sunday, if we were able to read the minds of the others in the pews beside us, we would be shocked to hear such thoughts as, "Thank God I'm not like those fundamentalists." Or, "Thank God I'm not like that one." Or, "Thank God I'm above such pettiness." Or, "Thank God I'm here. Too bad so-and-so isn't. They sure needed to hear this morning's sermon." Or, "Thank God I'm not filled with the type of hatred that the terrorists have." We have, as human beings, a tremendous capacity for smugness and self-righteousness. Across this great nation and in our churches, we tend to define ourselves by distinguishing ourselves from this group or that group, thanking God all the while that we are not like them. Unfortunately, the darker chapters of history, both in this country and in the church, are marred by actions that profess the belief that if God is for us, then God must be against someone else. We have a long history of being sanctimonious, self-righteous, and contemptuous, both to those in the church and outside the church. So it has long been a belief of mine that the most scandalous thing that a minister can ever preach about is God's grace. Because far from being limited to us and those like us, God's grace is available to us all. It's right there in the words from Joel that we read this morning, in which God promises to pour out God's Spirit on all flesh. Not some flesh. Not those who look like us or vote like us or think like us. All flesh. And then God promises that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just those who vote a certain way, not just those who give a certain amount of money, not just those who are here every time the door of the church is opened. All flesh. And if you have a problem with where this text is going or this sermon is going, let me just say at the outset, I didn't write it. I didn't say it. Don't shoot the messenger. Any anyone who revels in thinking that they know who should be and will be included and excluded in God's realm is likely going to be scandalized by what Scripture actually says. But that's nothing compared to the scandal we are likely to experience in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Because Luke begins by telling us that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, we certainly don't want to be considered in that group, do we? So our ears automatically perk up a little bit, hearing that the proud are about to be put in their place. We're ready to assume the moral high ground and to condemn them just as our Lord is surely about to do. We wait with bated breath as Jesus begins to tell his story, mentally ready to hiss and boo at all the right moments. And what better image could our Lord give us than that of a Pharisee? I mean, think about it. 2,000 years of religious interpretation have taught us in the church that the Pharisees were these self-righteous legalists who opposed Jesus at every turn. Why, if this were an old Western movie, we would have no problem whatsoever envisioning every Pharisee riding into town wearing what? A black hat. We are predisposed to dislike and distrust the Pharisee from the get-go. But that's not what Pharisees represented in Jesus' day. In fact, the Pharisees, when Jesus walked the earth, were the true heroes of the faith. They practiced their piety. They upheld the traditions. They said in a pagan world that told the people, go along, get along, and everything goes, that our actions and our thoughts matter. How we live our lives of faith matters. Moreover, the very behavior that this Pharisee goes on to describe in his prayer was a pretty accurate portrayal of the way that Pharisees in general strive to live their lives. They were moral. They fasted. They paid their tithe. They prayed. So the picture we are meant to get from this Pharisee is what most churches wish they had an abundance of: an ideal church member in every sense of the word. The tax collector, on the other hand, possessed none of these virtues. This occupation of collecting taxes was a direct result of how the Roman Empire chose to govern its conquered provinces. You see, the Romans would hire local citizens who knew the population to do the disagreeable work of collecting taxes, rather than sending in Romans who didn't know the people or the region to do it. Served two purposes. One, they were sure if someone knew the area that everyone would be taxed. They were also sure that if they hired someone locally to do it, then the people who hate the tax man and always have and always will would direct their wrath towards some poor schmo rather than the Roman Empire. And to encourage this behavior, after the tax collectors collected their flat tax for each individual, the Roman government allowed them to tax more and skim off the top. Proof that everyone has a price. So we could not imagine a more unrighteous person to set up as a foil against the Pharisee than this tax collector. And it would have been likely that as people listened to Jesus telling this parable, they would have nodded their heads in approval as the Pharisee prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector." Moreover, we can imagine Jesus' first audience thinking what many of us might be thinking to hear that the tax collector could only pray, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Yeah, the thinking goes, you better pray for mercy. And then comes the surprise. Jesus flips everything upside down and he says, "I tell you, this man, this tax collector went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." And just like that, the trap is sprung. He who would have been deemed completely unrighteous is who we are to emulate. And he who would have been deemed righteous is not. We have to remember the context. Jesus told this parable because there were those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. By assuming their own righteousness and judging others to be unrighteous, they had made a critical mistake. You see, the Pharisee stands off by himself. He has set himself apart from everyone else who's worshiping. And he says, "I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, even this tax collector." And here's the thing. In Jesus' day and age, it wasn't uncommon for people to pray similar prayers. "I thank you, God, that you did not make me a lawbreaker. I thank you, God, that you have given me the wherewithal to be a blessing to others. I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile, that I know you, the living God." But where this Pharisee gets in trouble is when he moves from the vocabulary of gratitude to the vocabulary of elitism. Did you catch it? "God, I thank you I'm not like anyone else." And God says, "Really? All have sinned and fallen short of my glory, but you're not like anyone else? You don't need to be justified? You don't need to be forgiven? Then go on your separate way." Here's a man who knows he has fallen short, who has cheated his neighbors and has nothing but remorse in his heart, and all he can say is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's someone I can work with. That's someone I can forgive. Those who trust in their own righteousness need no forgiveness. Those who trust in their own righteousness have no business whatsoever gathering on Sunday morning and celebrating the good news because they have no good news. Right? We fall into the trap of self-righteousness whenever we read this parable and think to ourselves, Well, thank God I'm not like that Pharisee. Oops. That's when God says, really? What are you doing here? It's important for us to remember in these prayers, the Pharisee asks nothing of God because the Pharisee deems that he needs nothing from God. And all the tax collector can do is beg for mercy. So of course he would walk away justified. The very thing that he needed at the core of his soul and being, forgiveness, is given in abundance. And for the Pharisee then and now, who feels he or she needs nothing, it's not surprising when we are sent away with nothing. I like how the author Kathleen Norris put it when she wrote in her book entitled Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith. She said, God will find a way to let us know that he is with us in this place, wherever we are, however far we think we've run. And maybe that's one reason we worship, to respond to God's grace. We praise God not to celebrate our own faith, but to give thanks for the faith that God has in us. To let ourselves look at God and let God look back at us and to laugh and sing and be delighted because God has called us his own. To laugh and sing and be delighted because God has called us his own. For each and every one of us who has ever felt at the very heart and soul of our being, all we could do was pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isn't that reason enough to celebrate? Unworthy as we all are, God has claimed us, forgiven us, and filled us with life in abundance. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Tim Reeves. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're in the Google Podcast app, and we're also on the Stitcher app. Also, if you would, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It helps people find us. You can find us also on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, and on Instagram. Our username is CentralPresPB, which is conveniently also the address of our website. You can find us at www.centralprespv.com. At the website, you'll find worship schedules, our Central Scene newsletter, and other news and notes from around the church. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.